Today, continuing on with our theme, My Favorite Psalms. They're not necessarily what some might consider the greatest psalms in the Bible or whatever. They've been just the ones that have been always favorites of mine. And we've been going through them these past weeks. And today we come to another one. And in the continuation through My Favorite Psalms, today is really, the psalm is about my favorite subject. And that is the Word of God. You've guessed it. Psalm 119. And just before we break it open, once again, remembering the importance of God's Word in our lives. You know, here we are today. And whatever else happens, you know, whatever the Bible study you feel, I liked it or I didn't, or it was good, or I preferred last week or next week, or we don't know next week's yet. But whatever, the great news is, that when you hear the Word of God, your faith is being increased, because Romans tells us in 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so that's exciting. You know, again, you know how I came to know the Word of God was through my father's old Bible, and then on, of course, with Chuck Smith's tapes given to me by a girl in Ireland all those years ago. 30 years or more ago now. And my life verse of scripture very quickly became, I never knew what a life verse was till I heard Kay Smith say that one time. And she quoted on a venture in faith, a video, her life scripture. Well, mine definitely quickly became Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found by me, O Lord, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. And I fell in love with God's word. They are greatest, my favorite psalms, my favorite day, the greatest day of my life was the day I found God's word. Some people get excited over, and I did for a time. I was involved in full gospel type meetings where it was all about generating excitement. Wonderful stories about experiences that people had, testimonies that often sounded more like bragamonies than testimonies. And mind you, very genuine testimonies too, but you know, some people get excited over that sort of stuff, over dreams, over a prophecy, over visions, over, oh, the Lord was at the end of the bed talking to me last night, you know, over some word of knowledge, over some whatever it might be, visions, dreams, tongues, interpretation of tongues, whatever. Well, I tell you now, I get excited over God's word, primarily over and above all. But you know why? Are you knocking all that, John Henry? No, because prophecy, dreams, tongues, vision, interpretation of tongues, all have their place, but they must be interpreted true or false. But God's word is always true and always exciting. Jeremiah 23:28 says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully, for what is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord. God's word says that in comparison to God's word, all this other stuff is chaff in comparison to wheat. The word of God that we're getting today. Martin Luther said, I have covenanted with my Lord that he should neither send me dreams, nor visions, nor angels. For with his word alone am I truly content, for it supplies all that I need, both for this life and the life that is to come. I side with David when he said, I rejoiceth at thy word, O Lord, as one that findeth great spoil. Have you found God's word? I know many here have. But we're speaking not only to our assembled gathering here, but perhaps to folk listening on the radio at a later date from today, or on the internet even today, and somebody listening or just happened to listen into this message. I thank God that I opened the Bible and started to read it all those years ago and came to saving faith in Jesus Christ, because there's power in God's word, power to take you over all the obstacles and all the troubles and all the struggles of life. And take us in the power not only that saves us, but takes us home to heaven. You know, God's word has power in it. First time it was ever spoken, God said, let there be light. And he flung the universe into existence. And that same power and that same aliveness is there for us. So as we approach Psalm 119 today, it's very exciting. There's an exciting aspect of it because it's applying God's word. The same aliveness, the same power that flung the universe into existence is there for you and it's there for me, the same authority. Jesus Christ himself said, if you abide in me and my word, my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it'll be done to you. You know what that's telling you? It's telling us that our prayers being answered are predicated upon us being in the word of God. Now, this is something I've known all through the years, but there was a reawakening of it for me in studying it, the psalm this time. The realization that here is a psalm, 119, the longest psalm of all the psalms, longest chapter. And in fact, in this psalm, he's speaking about the power of God's word, but taking God's word and applying it in your own life. Spurgeon said, if you wish to know God, you must know his word. If you wish to perceive his power, you must see how it works by his word. If you wish to know his purpose before it comes to pass, you can only discover it by his word. Now we have his word, but of course, you know, we want to grow. And that's why we're here today, to grow spiritually strong, to grow in the word of God, to take God's word in. You know, when I got those tapes from the American girl in Ireland 30 years ago, one of the tapes through the Bible, but there was also assorted other ones. And of course, Chuck sent me so many after that when I was in contact with him. But one of them was Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. And that was, of course, the message was entitled God's Word. And the scripture says, and I'll, for time's sake today, not go rummaging for it, go somewhat like this. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth, so shall my word be. That goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish that which I please and purpose and prosper the thing whereto I've sent it. And in my effort, I left out a little bit there. He says that as the rain and snow comes down from heaven and waters the earth, thank you, Lord, that it might be seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. Seed to the sower, what does that mean? It means it's coming to us right now, as seed coming into our own lives. In a sense, that's, if you like, subjective. But it's also objective. It's subjective and objective. It's subject in the extent that, you know, the word of God is coming to us and we're giving God's word out. Subjective and objective. And he says, as the rain and the snow come down and water the earth, it buds forth, brings forth and blossoms. And it's a beautiful actual. What I've shared with you already thus far is mostly, partly a lot that I learned from that message all those years ago. If you can still find it, it's worth listening to. It's called God's Word, Pastor Chuck. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Well worth getting and listening to. Very exciting. And then, of course, Chuck says that, you know, you take a look at the, and I remember hearing this, looking out my window in Ireland on a rainy day and seeing the rolling hills, because Tipperary is surrounded by rolling hills. And I looked out and I saw the hills, and they were completely green, and I'm listening to Chuck Smith. And he's saying, you know, as you look out the window, oh, not all the time, but when it rains here in Southern California, a certain time of year, and you look out and you can see the beautiful emerald coat on the countryside. And I was looking out of the window of Derby Terrace back in Tipperary Town, and I could see the fields at the back of the house and the hills. And then he said, look further and you will also see, or look closer and you will also see the yellow of the buttercups and the daisies, the purple of the bluebells and the daffodils and the all with their beautiful color. And who planted them was Chuck's question. Nobody planted them. Underneath the soil on the ground that was parched and dry and barren and dusty, lie all the minerals and all the nutrients and all that's necessary for the countryside to burst forth in glorious beauty. But all it takes is the rain to fall. And when the rain falls, the hills are covered, The countryside is covered with an emerald coat. The bluebells, the violets, the daffodils, the daisies, the buttercups all appear upon the earth, just as the rain comes down. Now think of Isaiah 55. As the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. See, God's word comes down. It'll not return void, but accomplish what I please and purpose unto salvation, unto regeneration, unto spiritual growth and development, whatever. And Chuck said, at the end of that message, so beautifully put, he said, you know, and that's why it's when the rain of God's word pours down into your heart that a glorious beauty is born. Just as the glorious beauty appears on the countryside because of the rain first falling, that glorious beauty will appear when the rain of God's word falls into your heart. Well, God's word fell into our heart, and I tell you, you know, I'm excited coming to Psalm 119, and I've given you that little opening, or that little opening to our teaching this morning, or our looking at this psalm this morning, because it meant so very much to me. And I thought as I was preparing this message, as I opened Psalm 119, oh, thank you, Lord. I've failed you in many ways, and I've fallen short. And as I've got on down the road of going on, time takes its toll, and the excitement maybe of the early years or whatever, but I have never lost my love for your word. And I want to put it to you today that if you have, get back into, that's the theme of God's word today, get back into God's word. Make it a daily part of your life. If you want glorious beauty to burst forth, if there hadn't been glorious beauty, if there's been a lot of foul, stinking, rotten old stuff going on, and you know, I can't break free of this, you know, you go up to Santa Ana, you go to Waverly, I've done many funerals up there, and you go to Waverly Chapel, and walk not far out from the chapel doors, and you'll find a gravestone there, and written on that gravestone is L.E. Romaine. And on it is written, pray, read your Bible. That's it. How about it? You know, I guess he could be said if he was asked, have you any last words to say? What would you say? But what better advice? Prayer, the epitome of the Christian life, and the word of God that supplies all that we need for this life, as Luther said, and the life to come. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm in the Bible. And just so that you know that for your own information, Psalm 119, the longest one. There's a guy called John Ruskin, and his mother had him memorize a psalm every week. Well, when Johnny Boy got to Psalm 119, he was rather concerned about that because it's a very long psalm. But he was also not too happy with the idea because he thought it was repetitive, kind of repeated a lot of things, you know, over and over again. And so, but he said after going through it and studying it, meditating on it, memorizing it, he said he no longer dreaded it. He saw that it was dynamic for him to learn the psalm because it stirred his mind and called him daily back to the place of studying God's word. And that was why I deliberated with the opening, the importance of being in God's word. Now, again here, the word of God and why we should study it. Really, that's what this is about. By the way, we're going to be doing, talk about the National Day of Prayer and the folks coming in here later, we'd probably be here for a week if we were to go through every verse. So we're not going to do that. It's going to be like almost my favorite verses from one of my favorite psalms. We'll pluck just some of the verses, not necessarily my favorite verses, as I felt led of the Lord going through the psalm. I just stopped where I went, wow, yes, and the Lord spoke to me, and then I moved on and on to the next one. Blessed verse 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. First of all, as always, remember the word blessed means, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy is the man who walks in the way of the Lord. How happy is the man who walks undefiled in the way. He walks in the Lord, keeps his testimonies, and is seeking the Lord with his whole heart. Man, I love that. You know, are you happy today? Oh, some people might immediately say, oh yes, I'm very happy, thank you. But you know, there are people here today who are not happy and struggling and going through difficult things and trials and all kinds of stuff. And here's the key to happiness. Here's the key to be free. The key to happiness, you know, is walking in the law of the Lord and keeping to his statutes, keeping to his testimonies. That's what it says right here. Now, really, if we're walking in the way of the television, of the movies, of the Netflix, of the internet, of all the stuff that can keep you focused for hours and hours and hours, well, you know what? It brings misery. There's an emptiness. Well, at best, there's an emptiness, isn't there? Have you ever watched a movie recently or at any time and after it you went, what did I watch that for? I'm seeing some smiles. Thank God I'm not the only one. This is called transparency. You know, you look at it and you think, what, oh, darn it, what was that about? Why did I ever even, and you know what? And it doesn't bring joy. It doesn't uplift you. The Word of God does. If you've strayed from it, if you've pulled away from it, get back into God's Word. And if you've never been in it, it's so exciting. And of course, asking the Holy Spirit. I've got a prayer written in one of the first Bibles I ever owned. Oh, Holy Spirit, open my eyes that I might see the truth of God in your holy word. Help me to listen, to understand your love and obey your commands. So always pray before you read the Bible. Verse 7, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn of your righteous judgments. I will praise you. Now, he's used the Psalms to praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. When I first came to California 20 years ago, and Pastor Chuck sitting up here asked me to pray on the Sunday mornings so very often before he would preach and teach. You know, on the very first Sunday I was asked, I felt, oh, how can I do that? Here is this man who has touched the globe for Christ. And I'm not worthy, I can't do. And I spoke to the Lord about it that Saturday night in fear and trepidation before the Lord. And the Lord told me to open the Psalms as surely as if he spoke it to me. And then started giving me praise psalms to pick a line from, to pick a verse from, and open in prayer by using the Word of God. See, then you're grounded and you're centered. And then I felt so free. Because it was no longer John Henry trying to think of a prayer or say prayer. It was now the prayer being led and directed by the Word of God. And that I have loved and love to do to this very day. Pray the psalms, take them with you out and about and read them. And sometimes you'll be reading where he's saying, oh, my feet had almost slipped. I feel like giving up, you know. And that's so great because you can, oh, wow, I can relate to that. That's me right now. But notice with the psalmist, he doesn't stay there. He's honest with God. Be honest with God. But don't stay in that place. Know that you have the victory through Christ who strengthens you. And so again, get into them. Pray them through. You know, they become part of you. I always think of that story of Cary Grant. You know, his name wasn't always Cary Grant. His name was, you know, the actor Cary Grant, the younger people. I'm seeing some younger ones nodding, so that's good. It's not just for the older folk. Cary Grant, handsome, sophisticated, right? So suave, so handsome, so sophisticated and everything. He wasn't always that, you know. For a start, he was from Bristol, England, and his name was Archibald Leach. And he reckoned that probably wouldn't a good one, you know, for the billboards. So he switched it to Cary Grant. And he said he started to act in roles. He spoke, I don't know what the Bristol accent is, but, you know, like the equivalent of a Cockney accent, you know what I mean? He spoke a little bit like that, you know what I mean? He got an English accent. He wasn't speaking like he does in the movies. He certainly had a regular English accent, which wasn't like, you know, Westminster or something like that. It was very rough and ready. But when he started acting, because he looked so good, and his carriage was so terrific, he got these marvelous parts, you see. And he was always a sophisticate. And he said, you know what? I acted it so much, it actually became me. It actually took over. The other me went away. Now, I'm not saying that we do that, okay? We're not going to try. But what I am saying is there's something we can learn from it. When we're putting in the Psalms, when we're in the Word, it takes over. If you're not, it won't. You got to get into the Word, be in the Word, and eventually praying the Psalms, and suddenly it's like you, pardon the terminology, but you're like you transcend. You go to that place where, wow, this is a different plateau. This is a different place. Well, again, beautiful scriptures here, guys. Going through another, let's look at another one. Verse 9, look at this one. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So much today in the world, and there are young men, and there are old men, and there are older men, and there are all kinds of aged men here. There are women too. It's a frightful world, though, you know, today of lust, and like as never before in our world. Oh, there you are, Pete. I was worried about you. I'm glad to see you're here. I was going to talk about you earlier, so good to see you made it, brother. And Michael, is that you there too? Well, I was thinking of the two of you. I was saying, where in tarnation is Michael and Pete? I thought you were backsliding again. Very worried. No, just kidding. Good to see you guys. Ah, that's great. I noticed you weren't down here. Now, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. Listen, you know what? If you're suffering, if there's anybody here and there's lust or pornography or that sort of, clean your way. Listen, get into the word of God, man. Because I always think that, you know, when I came to know the Lord first, and I do not wish to speak disparagingly of any church now, but I do believe that you could go to 1,000 masses and 1,000 Methodist or Presbyterian or Protestant services or Calvary Chapel services and be far from walking with God. But it's when you get into the Word of God yourself and you realize, I'm not doing this. See, I even teach this, and I'm very aware of the fact that even in teaching it, you could do this. There are pastors who have mighty churches, and they fall. They were in relationships for ages. They were teaching the Word of God. See, it's being in the Word of God ourselves. When, what was Chuck Smith's father-in-law had in his Bible, Kay's father, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Nothing like the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Now, about being cleansed, you know, not just from lust and that sort of stuff, cleansed from all the stuff. You might be sitting here today thinking, I have nothing to do with that sort of thing. And there's probably pride already, so there's a bit of cleansing needed now in that area, you see. But you know what Jesus said? Now you are cleansed. Listen to this. Now you are cleansed by the word I've spoken to you. Isn't that great? When you hear Jesus speak, you're being washed already and being cleansed, and then you're confessing. Paul said in Ephesians 5:26, we are made holy and cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. Oh, man, I love that. So I said earlier, this is about application. So if there's something going on, you need to be clean. And you're not clean. It's anger, pride, bitterness, lust, envy, whatever. And if I've left one out, it's your one, then you know it right away. Don't shout it out because we'll know it's yours. But here's the thing. You'll be washed and cleansed. Look at that. By the word of God. You know what's dropped off a lot and probably would be a great idea to do? I remember back in my Presbyterian days, back in old Ireland years ago, you know, we used to have these 3x5 cards or 5x3 or whatever they were. And you'd write, you know, the scriptures on them, and you'd put them in your car, or you'd put them places, or you'd do something with them, you know. I don't suppose there's cards that much anymore. Everybody has cell phones now. But, you know, you can put it on your phone. You can still put it on a card and put it, if you're like me, post-it, stick-its. I'm a post-it, stick-it, man. I'm posting and sticking all the time. Anyway, you can put it on it and put it. We first came to know the Lord, and we stood on God's word. I was owing 60 to 80,000 pounds, probably double it back then for dollars. And I put on the refrigerator, I will owe no man anything but love. I put somewhere else, I have coveted no man silver or gold. Put somewhere else, my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. Stuck on the end of the bed, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of. And we stood on God's word, and we stood on the promises of God's word, that like we said earlier, God's word has power in it. God's word does not return void. It is the same aliveness and the same power that flung the universe into existence. And this is the God who can come and deal with your situation today. We left Ireland owing no man anything but love. God turned, glory to God, God turned the whole thing around, swung the whole thing around, and caused us to know that God's word has that power. Take it today. Don't just look at these scriptures and say, that's nice. That's an interesting understanding of that now, isn't it? But I was listening to Dr. J.B. W. Jones. Oh, sorry. Yikes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This isn't based on how intelligent we are. Isn't that great? Oh, I'm so happy about that. This is that child can understand this. Get in the Word of God. Have your way cleansed, man. You'll be washed by the water of the Word. I love it. Verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will meditate. Now, it's interesting. I was with the, I don't know what you call them, getting the root canal thing yesterday and the splits and the crack in my tooth going under the gums, and he had to push all the gums away to get down to find where the crack was, and he didn't even know, you know. I told him he was probably looking in the wrong place for the crack. He should be looking in my head, you know. But anyway, he was a very nice guy, and he told me he was Jewish. So in the middle of it all, you know, while he was working on me, I was looking at my notes and working over stuff. And I said, you're Jewish, you know. You know where the word meditate comes from? In the middle of him, oh. I said, and you're Jewish and you don't know. No, I don't know. It's from the Hebrew word to like a cow chewing the cud. He didn't really engage me in a lot of conversation about it. He thought, he did find it very interesting, though, I think anyway, and very nice of him. He called me late last night to see how I was doing after our 3 hours on the chair yesterday morning. So he was a very sweet guy and very nice. But, you know, I was telling him this because it was in my mind. Chewing the cud. Now, you know that a cow has three stomachs. Did you know that? So what he does, he eats the grass, the cud, and he chews it, turns it into cud, and he chews it, and then goes into one stomach, and then he, oh, ouch, and then he regurgitates it into the next stomach, and then he regurgitates it into the other one, and then he regurgitates all that back again into the first one. Have a nice lunch today, by the way, and try not to be thinking too much of, bon appetit, try not to be thinking too much of this when you get to the dinner table for your lunch today. But the interesting thing is, what I found fascinating about this was, guys, I really did, and I made some extra notes on it because it really got me. I thought, hey, that's so interesting. That's how we are to deal with the Word of God. Don't, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. Don't go through the Word of God. Have the Word of God go through you. Well, I guess go through the Word of God. Go through the Word of God and have the, but most important, there it is. Go through the Word of God, but most important, have the Word of God go through you. How do you do that? By even, you know, even these, I better not deliberate too long, but even this Middle Eastern philosophy and everything, they talk about repeating things, and they do, because they know that this drives it down deeper within you as you, the mantra thing, and you're going through it. Well, we're not interested in that. But what I am saying is that meditation has become a kind of a dirty word because of a lot of the Eastern hocus pocus. But here's the thing. Going through the Word of God, meditating on it, chewing it. You know, are you in trouble today? You know, you're having mental problems. You're having stress and strain and anxiety and worry and tension and your mind, and you're feeling depressed, and it hits many people and all of us to some extent. And, you know, you grab something like Psalm 23 that says, He restoreth my soul. The soul is the mind. The soul is the intellect. You restore my soul, O Lord. You restore my soul. Even though I'm going through the valley of death and struggle, you're the one who restores my soul. Grab it and hold on to it. You feel you have no joy. 1 John, these things I have written unto you that your joy may be full. Don't just read it and throw it away. Don't just look up a scripture you can do. But I think when you're reading through the Word of God and you're waiting for Him to speak to you, then you underline it. You know, it's a good thing too if you pull it from a book where there are scriptures that can help you for sure. It's a bit like the quotation books that we can use rather than reading the book. We get the quotations from the book or something. But it's not quite the same as when you are traveling a journey and know that God is speaking to you through His Word. So that's meditation. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I love that, you know. Delighting. And you know what? There's one quick thought in that. When you delight yourself in something, don't you learn much easier? If there's a subject and you're interested in it, you pick it up like lightning. Yes. If it's something that you're not interested in it, it's really hard to learn. Delight yourself in the Lord. Psalm 37, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So here, I will delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your word. Your testimonies, look, there it is. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Well, I guess I jumped ahead of myself in a way because Psalm 23:3 says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now again here, he is the one who restores the soul. Chuck used to say that he believed that this scripture should be over the door of every analyst, therapist, psychologist, and psychiatrist. It should be over the door of everybody that is a counselor or an analyst or a therapist or a specialist, or that ultimately he is the one who restores the soul. Now again, there are many people, even here today, I'm sure, and many of us, that are hurting because of, you know, hurts in the past. What do they call it? Childhood wounds. Pain. Experiences early in your marriage. Maybe things are a little better now, or maybe they're worse now. But hurts from family members, friends, relationships, at work, in church. And there's a real hurt going on, and it affects the mind. Affects the body too, but it affects the mind, and you're struggling with that. Now, I believe that, let me quickly say here, I do not think that all counseling is bad and evil and wrong. I think, you know, it's very good if somebody is injured and they break a leg, you know, I don't go to them with the Bible and wrap it around their leg and start talking scriptures. I gotta be able to practically, medically deal with it. And there are people who are trained in looking at the behavioral patterns and maybe what's causing this to help work with you. Mind you, I'd make sure it was a Christian if I were you, because the Bible tells us that all counsel that's not of God that is of the devil, all this worldly counsel. So be very careful with that. And again, I'm not one to lay down any who you should see or who you shouldn't see, but I would say to you, find a good Christian counselor or somebody who can if you need to. I don't think that's altogether wrong. But what I do think is an absolute waste of time is if you go for counseling and you haven't gone to God first. Amen. He's the one who restores the soul. So you know what? No names at all mentioned, and it's some time back. But I had a man, and he told me that he had been 30 years in marital counseling. And I understand that. I totally understand that. And it's been a help to him for sure. But the bottom line here is that, you know, I believe that God's word delivers us. And the bottom rule in marriage is, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wife supremely, mister. And then wife, yes, what? As you're getting that love from him, yeah, what do? You give back that love to him. And as dear old Chuck used to say it, that's a spiral toward heaven, where you're on the up, up, and up. But you know what? If you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church, she hasn't got that love to give back. So men, we're at the helm. If, in that sense, if we do not give that love, they don't have it to give back. So you want counseling on marriage? Is there something you're doing that's not right towards your wife? Get that right, number one. Well, what if she doesn't change? That's her business. That's between her and God. You won't stand before God talking about her. You'll stand before God talking about you. See, when we get that, it changes everything. There's the marital counseling. I don't need any more than that. But I need to implement it. Do I do it all the time? Of course not. I fail like everybody. We fall short. But it is my desire too. And you can go to endless counseling. You can pay thousands of dollars. They'll probably book you in for 12 sessions or more. Probably cost thousands by the time the thing ends. Can have benefit, but it's of no benefit if he's not the one restoring your soul. If you're looking to him or to her or to them or to somebody else to do it. And a good counselor, of course, will guide you in that way and let you know that it's not about what they're doing for you. It's what God is doing and what you must implement in your own life. Well, he restoreth my soul. And again, here the scripture tells us, and you are my delight and my counselor. And your word is my counselors. Make me understand verse 27. I better keep telling you the verses because I'm jumping through them here. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, so I shall meditate on your wonderful works. Therein is my prayer, O Holy Spirit, open my eyes, that I might see the truth of God in your holy word. Help me to listen, to understand your love and obey your commands. That's it here. Help me to understand, you know, and then implement. Verse 42, so shall I have the answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Now, again, here we have having the answer, you know, to every man an answer. It used to be the radio program one time. Having the answer for those who come. Well, what does that mean? If I'm in the word a lot, I get to know the word and I have an answer. Oh, absolutely. You will because you're in the word. But you may well find sometime that you'll come up against somebody who's razor blade brains, Harvard educated or something, and knows it all and smart and can try to trip you up or cult people or whatever. You say, oh, I feel inadequate and, you know, because I'm not as intelligent or I'm not as sharp or whatever as they are, and I find it so difficult. Well, you see, the good news is that it's not about that. He says here, I'll have an answer. What's the answer? The word of God. See, I think sometimes when we try to get into explaining, what we do is somebody comes to us with something and we give them a scripture, but then we launch into a defense of that scripture and try to explain it all to them. See, the power is not in that at all. The power is in God's word. The power is not in how we present it. The power is in the word of God. Just use the word of God. Just speak it. Remember the power it has. Remember, that's why I told you. Same aliveness, same power, flung the universe into existence. You can take the word of God and you can speak it to somebody's life. Remember the story? It's told here so often many years ago. About how the woman, I forget the story, Chuck had it, of the woman who, she was on a beach or somewhere witnessing. She was only a short time a Christian. And some super intellectual guy came up to her and started really, you know, tearing her to shreds, like with a machete verbally, and beating her back and everything. And she didn't really know what to answer. He was so cunning and silver-tongued and she just kept repeating, no, sir, but the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all unrighteousness. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, he would come back. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses a man from all unrighteousness. She just kept repeating it. And the guy actually surrendered and melted like the snow on a hot summer day, or when the sun broke through the sky, rather. He melted. It was the power that was in the word of God. Now, I have seen that in my own life, where sometimes I have felt so inadequate. So like, geez, you got the wrong guy, Lord. I can't deal with this. You picked the wrong person, you know. Don Stewart, where are you? You know, get him quick. I got to get out the back door here. Let him in. But you see, and he'd be the first to admit this, with all he knows, that's not it. It's the power of God working through you and often through your own weakness when you don't, but you're then relying more, ever more, on his strength. So use the word of God. Practical example, if you're going through, like I said earlier, lack of joy. First John said, these things have I written unto you that your joy may be full. If you're going through something where you are, if you like, through fears and anxiety, these things have I written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. Wow. Takes all that away. If you're going through sin in your life, these things have I written unto you, that you sin not. So again, using the word of God, take it out, use it, believe it, apply it, and watch what God will do. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I love this. I walk at liberty. You want to be free? You know, freedom is the most important. The word gospel is good news, but it's also freedom because it brings freedom to walk at liberty. Have you ever seen, you know, pictures of newsreels of people who have been released from prison? You know, when they're released after being in prison and, you know, imprisoned falsely or whatever, or people who are liberated, people who are set free from drugs, people who are set free from addiction, whatever it is going on in their lives. You know, I always think of the movie The Sound of Music, and the Von Trapp family have escaped the evil Baron von Schreuder, who now part of the Austrian Nazis, and arrives to arrest Baron von Schreuder and the Trapp, von Trapp and the family, and they sing their last song on the stage, and then when they're getting ready to arrest them, it's arranged that they slip away out the side and they go over the mountains out of Austria to escape the Nazi onslaught and to escape the tyranny that's about to take place and escape their own arrest. And to see them and to hear the music at the close of the film singing The Sound of Music. The hills are alive with the sound of music. And seeing the von Trapp family go over the mountain. Freedom. You know, I've often stated it too here. You know, people, I think, you know, there's no doubt about it. You have countries in Europe like Ireland and Poland and places that were overrun. Poland overrun by Russia, overrun by Germany. Ireland, 800 years subjected to British rule. Even here in America, the freedom from the yoke of having to supply the throne in England and the freedom here, independence. Think of that. You think of people out of Africa dragged over here as slaves and from all over the world and the freedom that came when after the Civil War and, of course, you know, the freedom of the slaves. You know, only people who have experienced freedom can really understand liberty is just so, it's the greatest when you're free, when you have that freedom. But I put it to you that for all that wonderful freedom, people can be, well, they have freedom to do what they like, but they're in the deepest dungeon of all because freedom is an interesting concept. Real freedom. I have the freedom to take drugs, get drunk, you know, run about and go wild or do whatever, of course. But what kind of freedom is it when it puts you in the deepest dungeon of all? Perhaps in a dungeon of addiction, a dungeon of AIDS, of whatever can come. So liberty. Liberty. For why? Why? Because I seek your precepts. Are you, practical application, bound by something today? Something holding you? You want to be free? Get into the Word of God. Verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. You know, the first time I ever taught this, I'm not going to deliberate over it, but I have a story for you. Back in Ireland, in the school, in the schoolhouse that my father was, of course, you know, the headmaster of a school in Ireland. And in the schoolhouse where he started, where he was teaching, it was on the same street, on Michael Street, where we lived. And it was in that school, in that building that I started the first Bible study called The Word for Today. I thought that would be original. You know what I'm saying? I called Chuck and I asked him, hey, not a lot of people know about it over here. Can I use that over here too? You betcha, John, go for it. I couldn't see him smiling, but I'm sure he was. Anyway, we started The Word for Today there. And, you know, one night I was teaching 20, 30 people. And this guy was standing at the back, dressed like a king, you know. Anyway, and he had an American retired Air Force pilot colonel with him. And it turned out, anyway, he owned a mansion the size of this place and there and there and there again in Southern Ireland. But he was German. And he was actually a first cousin of Prince Charles of England on the German side of the family. The House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, which, of course, after the 1418 war, became Westminster, became, oh, man, my brain. These pain meds are getting to me, sorry. The House of Windsor, thank you, Lord, became the House of Windsor after during the 1418 war. But anyway, he arrived, and he was there. And so he was a royal duke, not just a duke, but a royal duke. And I was, around the time I was teaching through this, and I was going, wow, look at that. I've got a royal duke, not quite before a king, but getting close to it. Perhaps if the German family had succeeded and hadn't been separated from them after the 1418 war, after the Kaiser's efforts, he might have even been a king. Who knows? But anyway, it's interesting, guys. God will, and that's just a fun aside, God will bring you before, he has done it. I'm not going to list it. I've had the opportunity to go and meet amazing, interesting people that in titled positions, in high positions, that God will open up doors for you, where you'll get the opportunity to speak before. And these are kings, by the way, with little k's. Judges with little j's. They're not anybody. But, you know, these people can have. And that's why I think with the movie stars and actors and people like that, you know, if you reach somebody like that, the impact they can have. It's not that they're special in themselves. But you think of the amount of people they reach. Sadly, so often we see, though, we don't see it lived out in the life of some of these people that do seem to come to Christ, and that's so sad. But anyway, the interesting thing is there that he'll give you opportunities. Forget the kings and all that. As I said, that was a fun aside. He'll give you amazing opportunities that you never thought you'd get. My hands also will I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. He lifts up his hands and to the Lord. How beautiful. Your statutes have been, verse 54, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Wow, I love that. We'll leave that one for now, but just look at it. It's beautiful. Your statutes have been my songs, singing the Psalms. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. I think it's true to say that an awful lot of people in this room, in this sanctuary here, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, main sanctuary this morning, and many people listening right now have been afflicted in one way or another. Whether it's now, whether it was in the past, whether it's a concern for the future, there's been affliction, there's been trial, there's been trouble, there's been loss, there's been heartbreak. There's been pain, there's been struggle, there's been mental struggles, physical struggles, struggles in the family, relationships, all kinds of stuff going on. Look at what he says here. Look at this. Here's a one to mark. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. I haven't got time to deliberate too long over that, but let me just say this with regard to it. Honestly, when I look at my life and I think at the times where I've seen the greatest progress made, it's when I'm afflicted. I've never been asking for prayer and praying more and crying out to God through these, in comparison to what some people are going through, minor ailments that I'm dealing with right now. See, it brings you to that place of crying out to God. So it's good that I've been afflicted, he says. Wow. But I told you the last time we went through the Psalms when my son Eric nearly died. That was the greatest affliction. That was such a terrible affliction. But I will tell you one thing. That brought me to a place of changing my life forever. And I know that. Changed my life forever. I still falter, flop, and fail in a myriad of ways. But I knew that my life would never be the same from that day on. Those who fear you, verse 74, will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. Question, guys, are people glad when they see you? Now, hold on a second. There are people here suffering from deep depression or listening right now and going through turmoil and struggle, and the tiniest smile is hard to make. Well, let me tell you something. You make that smile. It's worth a truckload of something from someone who doesn't have any of those problems. So it's not about being the most outgoing person and hail person, well met, and everything's wonderful. No. Even a smile when you're struggling. But that people would be, I've known people that have suffered from even depression. And I've always been glad when I see them. Oh, I hate to be talking about this. I'm still going through it, Pastor, and there's this and that. But in actual fact, you feel encouraged and blessed and strengthened when you're with them. Glad. Look at that. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me. To have people walk away from you feeling encouraged and built up and strengthened. Important, a beautiful scripture. Verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Again, are you going through something today? Trouble, trial, difficulty, problem, whatever. My soul faints. Oh, one day I'll be home and all this will be over. How I long for that day when I'm in your arms, Jesus, in the kingdom of heaven. But I hope in your word. The hope is for now, here and now. We have that hope. We know we're going to be with him forever. And know this, like I used to tell Ruby, who died at nearly 100, sitting down there a couple of years after Floyd. At 95, he died. And I told her, you know what, Ruby, I'd sit with her in her house and tell her, Ruby, he's not finished with you yet. He has something for you to do. Keep hoping in the Lord. And she would be focused and go on. But you know, we faint, but we have the Lord. We have the hope. Forever, O Lord, verse 89, your word is settled in heaven. How great is that? Verse 98, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. By the way, this means his commandments are ever with him, not his enemies. Want to note that? Your enemies will one day be cast off, but the commandments will always be with you. 104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So getting understanding through the word of God and hating every false way. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Well, there it is. It lights the way. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with mine eye. Psalm 32, verse 8. That's a beautiful scripture. You know, often I write that in the front of somebody's Bible. If I write on a Bible, Chuck used to do it too. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we're thanking God for that lamp and light of his word. Verse 114, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And again here, you know, that's a good one too for protection. You feel the attack of the enemy coming on strong? There's your psalm. There's a wonderful verse for protection. The entrance of your word gives light. Verse 130, it gives understanding to the simple. And again here, guys, understanding to the simple. It's not complicated. It gives understanding to even somebody who isn't well educated. It's knowing God's word, believing God's word, it's being in your life. He gives you that understanding. He imparts it as you read his word. Verse 136, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. Breaks his heart to see the law being abandoned like we're seeing in so many lives around us in the world today and even governmentally in this country, those who have abandoned God's law in every facet of life. And it's sad. Consider my affliction, verse 153, and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Well, there's a one we can all mark well today. Consider my affliction and deliver me. You know, again, put that one on the fridge maybe when you go home if you're going through something. I think I will myself. And some of these things that have been struggling with a little bit. And stand on that word. This is applying God's word to your own life. Great peace, 165, have those who love your law and nothing causes them to stumble. I love it. Verse 170, let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you, and let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. Hey, have you wandered off? Put that one on the fridge today or somewhere in the house. Psalm 32, Psalm 51, all those beautiful psalms that speak to us of course, of repentance and turning back to God. I close with this. These have been some of my favorite verses right out of this psalm. I hope they've blessed you as much as they have blessed me. The call today is to get into God's word. If you've pulled away from it, get back into God's word. David said, I rejoice at thy word, O Lord, as one that findeth great spoil. I would encourage you to be in God's word every single day. You have all the verses. I haven't time to reiterate or summarize them, but those ones we just went through today and many others will point you to deliverance, to strength, to joy, to going forward no matter what, because of God's word, to having your prayers answered because of God's word. Stop sowing seeds of the world. Change your source of information from the world to the Word of God and watch what happens. And finally, very important to remember, Matthew chapter 7, the wise and the foolish builders. Both men heard the Word of God. One man acted and the other did not. It's not the hearing, the believing, the agreeing, the accepting, the affirming, the listening to, the preaching, the teaching, God's word that gets results. It's acting upon God's word. Hear God's word, believe God's word, act upon God's word, and let God's word have its effect in your life for that glorious beauty to burst forth as the rain of God's word pours into your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this psalm that has focused us on your word. We've heard it now, Lord. We agree with it. We believe it. We want to apply it. So would you come by your Holy Spirit and enable us to do just that, to live your word, not just to be hearers only, but doers, and to go out of here, God. That in itself not to be the end. Subjective and objective, that we're not just getting seed today as sowers, not just getting bread today as eaters, but seed as sowers, to sow your word and to share it with everyone we come in contact with, just as like happened to us, for me, Lord, with Pastor Chuck right up here through all those years. Heard your word, Lord, and was my soul was taken captive by your word. God, I pray, as we know, as we've been given it, if we've been negligent in sharing it, ignite within us, Lord, the ability to share your word now and to live it as we walk out of here. And we thank you for it, and we praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's family said, amen. Amen.